Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you a little bit about reminders. This last week, my buddy Damian Short, I don't know, are you here this morning, Damian? I don't know if you were here or not. They're originally from out east, and when he came back, he said, you know, I got you something, Pastor. And I said, oh, well, you didn't need to do that, but thank you. And he handed me this gift. It's from the 9/11 Memorial Museum, and in it is a commemorative coin. And, you know, it tells a little story here about, you know, obviously what has happened and how the city has, and, you know, kind of repaired itself. And a very cool looking coin. Yeah. A little weight to that, too. Go ahead. Give it back. It is. It's, you know, we remember 9/11 when it comes around every year. There are other events that happen in our world that cause us to remember some things. Hi, Cynthia. Nice to see you. How are all the kids?
Good.
Yeah? When are you guys going to have some more? Yeah, okay. Right. And, it, you know, when you look at this, it causes you to remember. It causes you to remember destruction. It causes you to remember a city and a country that's has done some repair and continuing to do that. And it's a part of now our American history. But you see this coin and you remember. I look at this coin, I remember where I was when that event took place. These things along life that, you know, we need reminding of. You know, we live in a very busy world. We live probably very busy lifestyles. We used to say, you know, when we have all the kids, we're so busy. Well, now that most of them have moved out, I'm just giving them a hard time. We are in no rush for him to leave. But you think, well, you know, oh, the kids are out, you know, I'm going to, you know, not be so busy. And the thing is, it just fills space and time. And there's so many distractions that can happen for all of us. And reminders are a really great thing. I would rather hear, like this morning, someone came in and said, oh, Carmella and Luce are visiting and they're out in the lobby. And I must have had six people come to me and give me this, hey, did you know, and this reminder. Listen, I would rather hear it six times than not hear it at all. And so, you know, sometimes we get a little impatient with reminders. Like, I know, I know, I know, I know. My wife is a wonderful reminder of things to me. And sometimes I push the boundary of stepping out of gratitude for the reminder. But she wouldn't have to remind me if I moved a little quicker on some things. Yes, you heard a man confess that. Oh, knock it off. Which reminds me, I made a commitment to put up the towel rack for you today. It is the Sabbath. I should really rest, but I'll do it. We need these reminders. For example, October 7th, Bill, stand up, please. Bill, stand up. Here is your reminder. October 7th, just a few days away, you and your lovely wife are celebrating a wedding anniversary. On October 8th, the very next day, Helen and Clarence, stand up. This is your reminder. You are celebrating a wedding anniversary. What number is it?
66.
66 years. Woo! That's longer than I've been taking breath. A long time for what? Oh, Helen. October 7th, October 8th, October 9th, the very next day. JW, this is your reminder. Stand up. The queen you referred to. By the way, those of you who don't know Marlene, she's our office manager. So when he talked about, you know, it's kind of hard to create your own identity when you're married to the queen, you know, she's, you know, on our staff and takes care of me here and tries to keep me organized. So, but October 9th, the very next day, you also are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Congratulations. When the anniversary rolls around, it is a reminder. Okay, not that you don't think of your wedding or, you know, being married to the person you're married to, but it is a day that reminds us. I've thought about my wedding other than on anniversaries, but on my anniversary, I remember, I recall the day. It happens every year that I recall the November day that it happened and what the weather was like and what she looked like. And the beauty that she is now. The years have been kind to you. And so when these things come around, it reminds us, and not just of the day, but it reminds you of a vow you took, reminds you of what's important, reminds you of a commitment, and maybe where you could do better. And those kind of things, and so they're very important, these reminders that we gather along the way. I want us to look at Scripture this morning, and I want us to remember why worship and praise is so important, why we take time in this church, why we take time, and probably other churches, but in this church we take time to praise and to worship. Granted, we could end a lot earlier, but we choose to extend some time and extend praise and worship because of its importance. It's not just about singing a song. It's why we try to help create an atmosphere where worship is not so formatted, but it can become personal. And so there's appropriate liberty that we try to encourage here because worship is important. And specifically, this morning, the aspect I want to talk about is about what worship does, and it causes us to remember, and when we don't remember, what the consequences are. If you were to look in your Bible back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to read some selected verses through this chapter, and then we're going to correlate some things that are also written in the book of Psalm 106. And not that you have to follow along. If you brought your Bible, you can. If you want to follow along, didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. You can use that. By the way, if you don't own a Bible, you don't have your own, that Bible that's in the pew rack, you open that cover up, you write your name in it, that is yours. It's a gift to you. You take that with you, you make it your own. If you don't have a Bible, we want you to have one. And that is a gift from the Lord to you. His word is a gift to all of us. And so we want you to have that. Also, this will be recorded, and you can go to the podcast where you can play and pause and write things down and do all of that. That'll be up on our website in a couple of days. But for this morning, I want to move quickly and may not wait for everyone to turn to every location of Scripture. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it starts out, it says, "The whole commandment that I command you today you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in, possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. You see, this is the point where, you know, the Israelites, God's people, were freed from Egypt. They've made their travel, and they are now going in to possess the promised land, the land that the Lord has promised and swore to give to them, that's flowing with milk and honey and all this prosperity. And so it goes on, and he says, verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way. Remember that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Some tough times. Times where we go through, and like they have gone through, things in our life where we wonder, you know, is God paying attention? Is he really leading me? Because I kind of had this figured out maybe a little differently. If I were to plan it out, it might look different. It might look easier, at least in my mind. But the Lord does it with a purpose. He says, remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you. Can you say the word humble? Humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. Testing you to know what's in your heart. You know, it's interesting, as we go through things in life, it kind of exposes who we are. I'll just let you know, in my spare hours here and there and when I can, I'm doing this, you know, modest renovation in part of the lower level of our home. You know, I got all the tools out and things like that. And, you know, I was going through it, and things were going, you know, relatively smooth. I mean, you know, when do projects ever go smooth? And, you know, I was just thanking the Lord, and I was just praising him and thanking him. And, you know, as I'm doing this, because, you know, I've got limited skills. But, you know, I'm just grateful and, you know, just kind of going my humble way and doing this. You know, another opportunity comes by where I could work on this and have a little extended time to do it, and things are going fairly smoothly, and just thanking the Lord and, you know, committing the project and all the way through it, that, you know, I don't make a bunch of rookie mistakes and, you know, those kind of things. Yesterday I had a period of time where I could work on it, and it was the slowest going. It was, you know, probably the day with the most headaches. I mean, you know, when you're starting to put up trim and you're using your, you know, your finishing, you know, your nail gun for finishing work and all of this. I mean, you know, what are the chances when you shoot a nail through that it's going to hit something else and the nail then curls out a different direction and begins to expose itself where it should not be exposed? I mean, what are the chances? I mean, once in every great while, I had four of those yesterday. One, I must have hit something square because it coiled right up and shot right back out of the wood. I have it. I kept it. And, you know, just little things along the way, you know, where it would be easy to go, oh, you know, and where are you today, and you know, all of that. And these simple little things that are in life, you know, they're important, but, you know, on the grand of important things in life, it's not all that important. But you know what? I just said, Lord, I praise you today just like any other day. And it was this moment of, you know, for me, the fine-tuning that you wouldn't know about, no one would see, I'm alone. The moment where, you know, what's really in me? Am I just going to praise him when it's good, or am I going to remember who he is regardless of how my situation and circumstances go? Am I still going to praise him? Am I still going to worship him? And so I was grateful that the Lord has brought me along. Not that I've arrived, but at least yesterday there was an exposure of my heart that I was grateful. Attitude was pretty much the same as when it was going good. And so the things that we go through in life that sometimes test us, to see what's really in us. And he says, remember the whole way. And he says, I'm humbling you, testing you to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep the Lord's commands or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known to you that you don't live by bread alone. And all the different things, the clothing that didn't wear out and their feet that didn't swell. And it goes on through this passage and talks about all that God did for them and cared for them through this journey in the wilderness where they complained and murmured. Verse 11, it says, take care lest you forget. Say this word, remember or forget. Say it again, remember or forget. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them. In other words, as you go into this promised land and these things, these good things happen for you. When your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget. Use the word, forget. The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of a house of slavery. Who led you through terrifying things in the wilderness. And he lists things that they went through. Verse 17, he says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power, the might of my own hand has gotten me this promise, this wealth, this prosperity, this good life. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth and to be prosperous. And to be blessed. And if you forget, a lot of remembers and forgets here. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you will perish. If you were to go to chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, do not say in your heart after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, in other words, the land that they were going into and removing the people, that you would say to yourself, it is because of our righteousness that the Lord has brought me into this land that we possess. You see, it's interesting that if we remember what the Lord has done, it is one of the things that keeps us from wandering in our hearts and minds. And it keeps us from distancing ourselves from him, where we begin to think that we have done this good. Or when things get tough, that we think we are on our own. It correlates very much to Psalm 106 of some selected verses. In Psalm 106, verse 12, it says, then they believed his promises. In other words, they remembered. And when they remembered what he has done, they sang his praise. So when we remember what the Lord has done, we praise him. We worship him. We sing to him. When we come to this place and we sing and we worship, it is about declaring who he is. It's about leaving everything that has cluttered us all week long, everything that distracts us. And it's putting it all to rest and all aside to come to this place and be reminded that he is God. That I belong to him. He is God and we are to be his people. And we can recall things in life that have been tough, but here's the reality. You are still here with breath to talk about it. I guess he's been faithful. If you're in the middle of it, remember what he has done before. Praise him for it. Give thanks to him, because in the praise and in the worship of him, it causes us to remember. It is what I'll just tell you. It's not about trying to fill this church. It's about us coming and having something meaningful happen in our hearts and in our lives that affect us on a day-to-day basis and remembering who he is. This is not just about Sunday and it's one morning that I get to just kind of think about the Lord and I get to, you know, kind of be holy and get my forgiveness of sins. And it's to be a daily thing, But the coming together in this place is a reminder. If we feel beat up all week, or we've had a week where we feel like we've been a failure, that we can come to this place and sing of Him and remember Him, and that He's faithful and that He's gracious and that He's merciful. Yes, He is just, but He knows how to forgive if we know how to confess. And it's coming to this place and singing. It's not just about the music. It's not just about the selection of songs. It's about worshiping Him, remembering Him. In remembering Him, it keeps us, listen, it keeps us from wandering. Because look what happens. Then they believed His promises and sang His praise. But, verse 13 of Psalm 106, they soon forgot what He had done. No reminders. No talking about His faithfulness of the past. Didn't celebrate any anniversaries that meant something. They soon forgot. And they no longer waited for His counsel. It's when God's people became silent with praise. I mean, imagine coming into this place and no worship team. No song. No corporate declaration of remembering who God is, who He was, who He is, who He will continue to be, and all the things that we are so grateful for that He has done in our life that we forgot. And when we forget to praise and we don't remember, we will not wait for His counsel. That's what it says. When I forget what God has done, I no longer wait for His counsel. And so now we're walking through life on our own, thinking we've accomplished it, or that we're alone facing this horrible time or difficult time. It's the silencing of the church, or a silencing of the lambs of God. Psalm 106, verse 34, it says, when God's people went in, they did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but rather, they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters. They sacrificed them to the idols of the promised land. Talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19. It talks about, do not, when you go in, you remember the Lord, do not take on their customs. But if we don't remember and we forget, before too long, we start taking on the customs, traditions, the influences of the culture rather than living according to the culture of God's kingdom. You see, if we don't praise, if we don't worship, if we don't remember, you can think as highly about yourself as you ought. But if we cease from praising, from worshiping, we grow distant from Him. We don't wait for His counsel. And before long, we come up with our own ideas, or we start letting the culture that does not operate according to God's kingdom culture, kingdom of heaven culture, and we start dancing with the wolves. There's a silencing of the lambs because they don't remember, they don't praise. And now we start dancing with the wolves of the culture. You go a little further in the chapter, verse 39, Psalm 106. It says then, they defiled themselves by what they did, and their deeds, they prostituted themselves. You see, we stop remembering what God has done, and we start taking credit for it, or we think we've done it on our own. And we become silent in praise and silent in worship and silent in acknowledging God. And we forget what He has done for us. We forget what He has done on a cross for me. The only way my sins are forgiven is because of faith in Christ and what he did on a cross. His grace. Not because I deserved it. It's not my righteousness. It's just that he loved me. Inexplicable love. Not based upon performance. But if I can remember that he loved me when I didn't deserve it, and still loved me even though I don't deserve it, what a gratitude. If I remember that, I can do that in worship, and I sing to him and I acknowledge him. It brings me into a remembrance so that I do not wander, so that I don't become silent in praise, so that I don't start dancing with the wolves, and then I don't prostitute myself and defile myself and start sleeping with the enemy. Remembering. I've watched it in times of my own life. I've watched it in people's lives over the years of ministry and even before ministry, even in recent days, where people start to grow distant from praise and worship. They can still come to church. They can sit through a song. They can even sing the song, but that doesn't guarantee that there's worship going on in our heart and in our spirit, where we haven't made it meaningful, we haven't made it personal, and we think our worship is just private. It has to move from being private to being made personal. There's a difference. We can make our worship of him personal, that I would remember. Because I too, if I forget, I can wander. I feel it on days. Still, if I don't praise and I don't worship, if I don't take time and let it happen from within and acknowledge him when we're together, when I'm alone, I too could take on this culture. I too, over time, if I let it linger, if I forget, and I become silent in praise, I too could dance with the wolves. And we think, oh, I would never do that. You would never do that. Listen, there is a wonderful saying that describes this. And it says that sin will take us further than we ever wanted to go. It will keep us longer than we ever wanted to stay. And sin will cost us more than we could ever pay. It's why worship is so important. It's about remembering what he has done even before my time, but also personal testimonies of what he has done in all my yesterdays. To acknowledge him, to proclaim him in my own life, to make it personal. One of the benefits of worship and praise is that it keeps me from wandering. If I will remember, I will not be silent. If I will remember, I will not dance with wolves. If I remember, I will never sleep with the enemy. Remembering who he is and what he has done keeps me from wandering. And it keeps, listen to this, and it keeps me secure because of my recognition and recollection of who he is. It keeps me secure in my present trial because I know that I can count on him. When the waters are high and the fire is hot and there seems to be no exit door, that he is a God who stands with us in the fire. He is a God that will see you through. Don't you forget to worship Him and praise Him and make it meaningful to acknowledge Him and be humble and expose what is in your heart to Him. Because in it, there is a keeping power all the days of our life. Every challenge, every difficulty, to keep us filled with hope in the midst of every unanswered prayer, at least to this date. Trusting Him. Remembering Him. This team of different teams we have of leading worship and praise, they can help. But I'll tell you this, it is not solely dependent upon them. It has everything to do with the guy in my shoes. To praise Him, to worship Him. Whether they sing songs I like or dislike, it's about worshiping Him. And one of the benefits for you and I in reworshiping is it causes us to remember, and it gives us hope and inspires us, and then has this standard to keep me from dancing with wolves and sleeping with the enemy. But if I grow silent, I grow distant in my worship, I will do things that I thought I would never do, just like you, just like they did. So remember the Lord. Remember what He has done. If you're like, well, I can't really recall something He's done in my life. Listen, there is a book chocked full of historical accounts of what God has done. Read those. Share them. They are there for us. And as time goes on, you will begin to recall what He has done, what He has brought you through. A time that you remember in life, even maybe before you experienced Christ in any way. And you look back, I don't know how I made it. That was a tough time. I didn't even know the Lord. Listen, that does not mean that He did not show you a kindness and bring you through. Where today, when you recall Him, you can thank Him for a time He saw you through even before you knew Him.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.